Let's stand tonight and read a scripture as we open the service. Thank God for allowing us to come back into this place of worship. Psalms 124. Amen. Psalms 124 says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us, the stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken. We are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Father God, we are privileged to be able to come back to the house of the Lord. And certainly, Lord, we are, appreciative of you just watching over us this week. And, Lord, just all that you have done for us and all that you have promised to do. As we come, Lord, into your presence, we pray that you'd help us, Lord, to just put behind us all of the tests and all the trials and all the stresses and tribulations that have occurred this week. But may we look, Lord, for opportunities to give you praise, honor, and glory for the things that you have done. We ask, O God, that you bless those that are here, those that are still on the way, God, those that are unable to be with us tonight. We ask that you look upon them as well. And we trust, O God, that you would get all the glory and all the honor out of all that we do here tonight. May your presence dwell with us. You promised in your word that wherever two or three would be gathered in your name, you would be in the midst. So we invite you, God, now, to have your way in this service. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's sing a little chorus of When I Think About the Lord.
When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord and how he picked me up and he turned me around, how he placed my feet, yes he did, on solid ground. Come on, let's say that again. Oh, when I think about the Lord, yes, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, and how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, oh, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet, thank you, Jesus, on solid ground. Well, it makes me want to shout, oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Yes, it makes me want to shout, yeah. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory. Yes, you are. Oh, and all the praise. When I think about the Lord, say, when I think, yeah, how he saved me, how he raised me, and how he picked, oh, with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. And when I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet, oh yes he did. Well, it makes me want to shout, yeah, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, you're worthy, yes, you are. Hallelujah, all the honor and all the praise. Father, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Lord, you're worthy, yes, you are. Oh, and all the honor and all the praise. Come on one more time. It makes me want to shout. Say, it makes me want to shout. Yeah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor. Yeah, all the praise. Oh, say, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Well, it makes me want to shout. Come on, give him praise in this place tonight. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen. Let's try this song. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, oh, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Well, I thank God for saving. Oh, now when I think of the goodness of Jesus, well, and all that he's done for me, oh, you see, my soul cries out, oh, hallelujah. Yeah, I thank God, oh, for saving me. Well, save now when I think of the goodness of Jesus, hallelujah, and all that he's done for me. Well, you see, my soul cries out, oh, hallelujah, I thank God. Hey, glory. Hey, hallelujah. Say, when I think of the goodness of Jesus, yes, and all he's done for me, well, you see, my soul cries out, oh, hallelujah. Yes, I thank God, oh, for saving me. Come on, one more time. Oh, when I think, oh, and all that he's done for me, yeah, oh, my soul cries out, oh, hallelujah, yeah, I thank God, hallelujah, hey, listen, oh, I'm one of them, oh, I'm one of them, hallelujah, yeah, and I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. Yes, I am. I'm one of them. Oh, and I'm
so glad. Yeah. Oh, one of them say, one of them. Yes, I'm one of them. And I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Yes, I am. I'm one of them. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And I'm so glad. Hey, come on one more time. Hey, I'm one of them. Hallelujah. I'm one of them. Oh, my. And I'm so glad. Yes, I'm one of them. Oh, oh, I'm one of them. Thank you, Lord, and I'm so glad. Yeah. Oh, say, fill my way every day with love. Oh, as I walk with the heaven leader, hey, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. I say, feel my way. Hallelujah. Oh, come on and feel my way every day, Lord, with your love. Yeah. As I walk with the heavenly leader, yeah, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Lord, feel my way. Come on, one more time. Hey, we're asking, feel my way every day, Lord, with love. Oh, as I walk with the heavenly leader, hey, let me go all the while, Lord, with a song and a smile. Feel my way. Yeah. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, oh, when I think of the goodness of Jesus, yes, and all he's done for me, yeah, my soul cries out, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, I thank God, yeah, glory. Well, he saved me. Oh, he saved me. Oh, he saved me. Jesus saved me. He saved me. Glad he saved me. Oh, he saved me. I'm glad he saved me. Hey, so when I think of the goodness of Jesus, hallelujah, and all he's done for me, well, you see, my soul cries out, oh, hallelujah, yeah, and I think God, yes, I do. He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to do it, but he did. He saved me. Jesus saved me. When I was lost, oh, Jesus saved me. Hey, when I was down, oh, Jesus saved me. Hey, he saved me, Jesus saved me. Oh, he saved me, I'm glad he saved me. Yeah, he saved me, yeah, Jesus saved me. Oh, now when I think, oh, of Jesus, yeah, and all he's done for me, yeah, you see, my soul cries out, oh, hallelujah, yeah, I thank God for saving me. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He didn't have to do it, but he did. Thank you, Jesus, for saving us. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. My, 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 my. Amen. Sometimes those old songs just take you back. You think about where the Lord has brought you from. Amen. You begin to appreciate them all over again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just prepare for tonight's tithes and offering. And also just want to mention that if anybody got a little testimony they'd like to share, then certainly we want to give space for that tonight. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to give. We ask that you would just use it for the furtherance of your kingdom here on earth. And we trust, oh God, that you would return back to your people a hundredfold as they give cheerfully from their hearts. Thank you for meeting every need in every home. Thank you for meeting every need in this church. We thank you, God, in advance for the new church and the new school that you will have us walk right into, God. We're just under expectation for you to do that. And until then, Lord, we just will continue to praise you and worship you for who you are and what you do for us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Do we have anyone that would like to just share, amen, tonight, a testimony from your heart, anything the Lord has done for you, amen, that you'd like to share? We certainly want to give space to that, amen, tonight. Yes, sir.
Bless his church. I had no plan to say this, but when he said that, I had one, so I guess I will let you guys have it. I got my license, and I wasn't supposed to have my license for another 3 years, and I had got, for some way, God made a way, and I got my license. And they had me under this supervision program, and I've been on it. I've been doing everything they tell me to do. I haven't violated anything. I have had my license back already for almost a year. I haven't even gotten pulled over. And I don't think it's just luck. I think it's because I've been doing what I'm supposed to do over there. Plus, my license, I use it to take care of my girls, to go to work, to come to church. The things that they allow me to do, which is pretty much what I do. About 2 months ago, I went to the office for my monthly checkup, and the guy said, you have a violation on you have a misreading on your device. And I said, no, I don't have a misreading. He's like, well, yeah, you have a misreading, we're canceling your privileges. So what do you mean? I mean, I haven't had my device hasn't gone off. I know the procedure. If my device goes off for some reason, you know, and he says, basically, he's like, nope, we're taking your privileges. In 10 days, you're going to receive a letter from us saying that that you're over, and we're sending a letter to Tallahassee, and then they'll send you a letter letting you know when your license is going to get suspended, and then if you want to reapply, you have to go through the whole process again. So I was a little wary. I started praying about it. Even in those days, I saw Sister Tina, and she knew about. I kind of keep her in touch with all that stuff, what's going on. So I told her, this happening, you know, they're gonna take my license away. I actually received the letter, saying that they terminated me from the program, and now I was just waiting for the letter from Tallahassee that to tell me that what day my license is gonna be suspended. So I told Tina about it and told her here at the church, and then I was doing something in her house, and I went over there and I was talking to her, and she's like, we were talking about it, and she said, we're not waiting for any letter from Tallahassee, you know? And I didn't think nothing of it when she said that. And I saw her at the meetings at Brother West Coast, and I was pulling out, and she's like, you're still driving? And I was like, I took what you told me. You told me we're not waiting for any letter from them, and I took that. So to this moment, it's been 2 months. Okay, I still haven't gotten that letter from them. I checked the other day. My sister was telling me about it. She's like, are you sure about this? You might want to, how do you know your license is not suspended? You know, because I told her why I think happened. You know, she doesn't believe the same things that I do, but I know what happened. Because I got the letter from them saying that I was terminated. So how did that hasn't gotten over there? And I first didn't want to talk about it because I felt that if I talked about it, then it was just like, what people in the world sometimes think about, like, let me just not say anything about this because I'm going to jinx it. I say, you know what? I'm not going to do that because I already know what happened. I give it to him. I talked to my pastor. He said, you know what? The only thing you could do is give it to him. Amen. Give it to him, and he will take care of it. And he gave you the license. He's not going to take it away like that if you're being faithful to him. So I told my sister, and she's like, how do you know? How do you know? That doesn't work like, show me. So I went, actually 2 days ago, I went on the thing, checked your license, says, license is valid. So my license is still valid. Now I haven't been, the program that I was supposed to be in, I haven't been back over there because they canceled me from it. And I'm still driving because my license says it's still valid. So I know what happened there. It's a testimony for me, and I'm not afraid to say it anymore because at first I was like, I don't want to say it because then it's going to, and the devil fought me for about the first month. He's like, every day I would check my mail, you know, it's a letter that I would get home expecting to see mail, to see if the letter was, I'm not waiting for the letter no more. Amen. You know? And so I wanted to share that with you because if you put your trust in him, he will take care of you. He promised that he will take care of us, and he's taking care of me, and that's something really big for me because anybody that I've told, they can't really, if you think about it, you can't explain that. You know, they don't mess around with that. Once they terminated me over there, I'm supposedly a dangerous guy out there in the roads. They were going to suspend my license. So, you know, I was already making plans of what I was going to do if my license got suspended, but I'm not making those plans anymore because I'm trusting that he's going to keep it like that, and I don't know what's going to happen from here on. And if something were to happen, I don't remember where was it that I heard that. I think I was listening to a message. I don't know which one it was, and he said, if it doesn't go that way and it goes another way, then he'll open another door and that other way, and I'm open to that, you know? So whatever it is, I'm going with him, I'm staying with him, and I'm following him, and he's always taking care of me, and he will take care of you. That's my testimony. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. That's wonderful. Appreciate Brother Josue sharing that with us. And you know, we have to continue to confess what our faith is, and no matter what it looks like or what it feels like, keep confessing it. And it's, you know, he was saying how he expecting the mail. You know, sometimes our expectations will bring it to us, but if we change it, I'm not expecting that. If it come to my house, it's at the wrong address, right? So praise the Lord. God bless you, brother. Anybody else want to share a testimony tonight? Amen. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Well, we certainly thank the Lord for all things. Thank you, musicians. I'll let you all be dismissed. And I will share a little testimony as well. I'll call it a testimony, but I want to just kind of read a couple quotes and maybe a scripture. So before I get into that, you know, sometimes it's good to just get personal, and I feel tonight was a night that I wanted to just kind of share some things with the church, you know, and those that, I mean, this is probably a sermon that I won't necessarily put online, so they'll have to come another time that I'll share with the other saints. But tonight I want to read a scripture from Isaiah 59, and we read this a couple weeks ago, and we preached on a sermon, when the enemy comes in like a flood. And I want to just kind of, I'm going to read a couple more quotes, and then I'm just going to kind of inject some personal things there, amen, in this particular scripture. Here, Isaiah 59, let's just all stand as we read this. Verse 17 says, "For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense." And verse 19 says, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in, shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." Amen. Thank God for that promise. Let's just pray with it. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to read the word of the Lord. But God, we pray tonight that you would just take us a little further in this thought. You brought it to us, Lord, just a few weeks ago, and God just felt led to kind of go back and hit a couple things in it, and that we didn't share the first time. And I pray that you just take complete control over this portion of the services. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. So again, we'll just continue on with the same title, "When the Enemy Comes in Like a Flood." And I will read a couple of quotes here from first the message, "The End Time," and then secondly the message, "The Third Exodus," I'd like to read. Brother Branham says here, it's been stalked like a garden, and the true wheats come up among the weeds and cockleburs, but it's been wheat all along. You always talk about how bad the world is and how wicked the world is. That's true. But look how great the church is getting all the time. And you know, when you really think about this, man, there's a lot of stuff happening in the news that we can easily get ourselves wrapped up in. But as we get wrapped up in that, we can't forget who God has called us to be as sons and daughters of God, right? And you know, the only hope for the world is Jesus Christ, and we're the ones that have to present Christ to this dying world. So here the prophet is telling, say, you always talk about how bad the world is and how wicked the world is. That's true. But look how great the church is getting all the time. We fail to look at that side. Jesus said, "Let them grow together." When the world's getting wickeder and wickeder and wickeder, the church is getting more powerful and powerful all the time. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against it. Hallelujah, let's go. Glory. The winds are blowing. Set your sails. Hallelujah. Move right on into the face of the storm. Now, I love that. That's not running away from, you know, our trials or our tribulations, but we face the trial or tribulation knowing that God has already given us victory in the circumstance. Amen. It says, move right on into the face of the storm. What do you care? Who's the captain? He will take care of it. Now, don't fear. I'm always there. See, and I believe that's just all of us with the various trials that we're going through. We need to be encouraged by that. Just, you know, face that storm. Don't run from it. They used to have a song. They used to sing, "Lord, don't move the mountain, but give me strength to climb it." Amen. So let's go on a little further here in this message, the third Exodus. And I read this to you all, actually. Let me see something here. Actually, no, let me, before I read that, let me read this out of the Junction of Time. It says this, it says, notice, and another thing that he did back there, we noticed that during the time of this great turmoil, when men's heart began to wax cold and away from God, women become such an idol. When the sons of God seen the daughters of men that they were fair become a sexual order. Look at it today, what we're living in, not speaking against honorable women. No, sir, they're God's instrument. But those who care not for themselves, how there are so many on the opposite side going about marrying and giving in marriage. God said so in the Bible. Jesus said before Noah's time at the end, they were marrying and giving in marriage. How the great turmoil is in the world today, and we realize that one thing that caused that, the Bible said that the spirits, great spirits came down, evil spirits, and got into these people and done these things, and we see the same evil spirits working in our day. Now, notice again that not only that, when all hell turns loose, all heaven turns loose also. Church, we ought to be under expectation for this. And we can see all hell coming against us. But also at the same time, we have a promise that when we see that, all heaven, amen, is released at the same time. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God raises up a standard against it. And these two forces has always showed at the junction. Amen. All hell shows up at the junction and all heaven shows up at the junction. Amen. I tell you what, we will not be defeated. Amen. I don't care what we go through. The promise says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, when he's pressing with everything he has, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard. Right? And church, that's what I'm under expectation for. We get put in some really tough spots. Amen. But God's word is firm. It's sure. It cannot fail. And all we got to do is stand on that word no matter what. Amen. No matter what anybody says, God's word is able to turn that thing around. Right? I mean, the scripture asks the question, whose report do you believe? Amen. And the answer came back, we shall believe the report of the Lord. So I'm standing with the report of the Lord. Whatever God say, that's what I'm going to say. Hallelujah, church. Amen. Whatever way God feel about it, that's the way I feel about it. Right? So, church, we got to continue to stay with that word no matter what. So we got to expect that at this junction, it's going to be two forces that show up. Amen. The enemy is going to show up, but God's going to show up too. Praise God. I'm under expectation. Another one, glory to God, out of putting on the whole arm of God. The prophet makes this comment here. Says, but God just brings his word more positive all the time. And see, that's what the standard is. The standard is when the word is actually quickened to you. Right? You can be going through something, and that's why it's so important for you to read the word. Even when you're not going through, it's good to read the word. The Bible say, thy word have I hid. You know, I mean, see, you hide the word in your heart so that you don't sin against God. But it's also a thing that when trouble comes, it's the word that'll come out of you, right? Amen. You got to feed yourself this word because that's what you want coming out of you. And sometimes you can't, you know, when you can't think of what to pray or you can't think of what song to sing or whatever, God will quicken a scripture to you, right? And if he don't quicken it, sometimes you can just be listening to the radio in the car. And somebody say a scripture, wham, there it is. And all of a sudden that anointing hit the scripture, and you feel like you're going to overcome. And you do overcome whatever it is that you're facing because you got something on the inside, right? So you got to feed yourself the word. You got to stay in that word because you never know what's going to come in your direction. But here, you know, when that standard is raised, it's the word being quickened to you. So look, the prophets say that God just brings his word more positive all the time. He don't have to refortify it and bring something else up. He just makes his word more real all the time. And the Bible said when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God raises a standard against it. See, now, then if the enemy comes in like a flood and God's fortification to his people to fortify them is the word of God, so he just raises the word, a standard against him. Amen. I love that. He just raises the word, and that's the standard against the enemy. Praise the Lord. All right, let me go back here to 3rd Exodus and just kind of bring something in here. That when I preached this sermon a few weeks ago, my coworker was here, and he when I got back to work, he said that when you talked about that Pharaoh that did not know Joseph, say my wife just looked at me and just kind of hit me, you know, like they said, she's like, see, that's what I'm talking about. Say that Pharaoh that did not know Joseph, like now, see y'all, you quoting message terminology. And you're not even realizing because the prophet brought that out, right? And then I had to take him to the scripture and show him where it was. But he said, man, when you hit that, it was something about that Pharaoh that did not know Joseph. I said, well, praise the Lord. But we hit this, and I want to circle back around and just kind of give you something personal here, with that. Here in the message, the third Exodus, this is part of a prayer. It says, we can pull back the pages, but God has to open this Sunday school lesson, so let us just ask him to do that. Heavenly Father, we by faith look towards the future. Amen. We by faith look towards the future. I'm looking now by faith towards a coming something. Lord, upon the earth, that's going to draw thy people together. When we see the denominational churches so pinning down and getting so different, it's really pushing the people out. Just as it was in Egypt, a Pharaoh rising who knew not Joseph. And now I got this underlined. We see the denominational churches so pinning down and getting so different. It's really pushing the people out. Just as it was in Egypt, a Pharaoh rising who knew not Joseph. All right? I'm going to keep going here. And as it was in Germany and up into Russia and Italy, the people raised up Josephs, Hitler, and Stalin, Mussolini, who hated the Jew. They had to go back to their homeland. God, you got ways of doing things that we don't understand. And you pressed them. No home in Germany. Everything taken away from them. Also in Italy, Russia, no place to go. And they were sent back to their homeland just to fulfill the word. My God, some of the trials that go that we find ourselves in, God allows us to go through that because we are going to find that we're fulfilling the word in the midst of it. It says, oh, the loving hand of God, how sometimes it looks cruel, the way that people suffer, but it still is the tender hand of Jehovah leading his children. We thank you, Lord. He says, now I pray, God, as I see the day that the denomination is pressing the believers, excommunicating them, saying that their names must be upon their book or their loss, have nothing to do with the other group. It's only the tender hand of Jehovah leading them to the tree of life. I pray, God, that each one, I know they will, because it's your word and it can't fail. And may we be led to the tree of life that we might be a possessor of eternal life. See the hand of God, and by the eyes of faith, look beyond these shadows that we're walking in today. See the promised land laying just ahead. Bless thy word this morning, Lord. These few scriptures and notes that I got written down here, may the Holy Spirit come now as I dedicate myself, the circumcision of my tongue and thought and mind, and the church dedicates their ears of understanding, their hearts, all of us together, that you speak to us through thy word, for thy word is truth. In the name of the word, Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So as we, you know, I was telling you my coworker that really caught inspiration from that when we hit the part where it says the denomination church is so pinning down and getting so different, it's really pushing the people out, just as it was in Egypt, a Pharaoh rising who knew not Joseph. Just recently, you know, I started, some of you all recall the job that I had for 14 years with the county, and just how in that job, you know, we had a wonderful run, but it seemed like my last year while I was working there on the job, God allowed me to get a new boss. I had already had, you know, one or two bosses that gave me very favorable reviews and things of that nature, And I got this, you know, this third boss, and man, she just, for some reason, just took me through what for.
And there was a lot that you all as a church, you know, watched me just kind of go through. And I was very grateful for the prayers of the saints and everything as they just kind of helped carry us through. But that was the first time in my life that I had actually experienced, you know, what Brother Branham's saying, a Pharaoh that did not know Joseph. And she was doing everything to push me out. I would never leave on my own. But what she decided to do is just come up with a plan and just got rid of me. And we went through a number of things there. But, you know, I can say to this day that God don't like ugly, right? And, you know, that same lady that, there was two ladies that, one was the HR director. She actually had me doing her homework on the job. I was going through a lot of things there, and I went back to my boss and said, now, you know, she's asking me to do a homework, you know, that I don't think that's right. She's like, well, you know, you just need to do it, you know, and just wouldn't support me, just kind of coming against me. So both of them were working together on this. And then I went to go talk to you know, the CEO of the company and try to explain some things to him. Come to find out, he was also in on the plan, you know, with these ladies, and you know, ultimately they their will was done, where I ended up losing my job there at with the county. And when that happens, like, you know, Lord, I don't know what's what. What his plans are for me, but God opened up another door. And, you know, but all those people that had come against me at that old job, first the HR director, within about 4 months of me being there, I mean, of me leaving, she actually ended up leaving. My boss that actually, you know, was in on the whole thing, within about 8 months of me leaving, she also ended up leaving. And that CEO that was also a part of that whole process, within about a year, year and a half, he ended up leaving. Right, so everybody that had kind of come against me, God has a way of just repaying, and you know, in His own way, and that's why it's so good not to try to fight back yourself. Just let God take care of it. Right, He has a way of just doing it. So God opened up a door, and you know, and took me into another job, which many of you all are aware of, you know, with the job that I have. But I got hired by one particular gentleman, and you all have seen him come here to the church with his family, you know, once before. And I introduced, you know, say, this is the guy that hired me, you know. And then, you know, when he actually ended up leaving the company, they brought in another person. And, you know, he, you know, him and I, you know, did very well together. But he was only there for a season because he was getting ready to go into another role as a pastor of one of the campuses. And, you know, so then they brought in a third person, you know. And when this third person came in, we worked together for a little bit, but there were a little few issues coming up here and there, you know. And one issue was there was a Sunday that they had a problem with the internet, you know, and with them doing live streaming where they wanted, you know, they got 40,000 people watching online. So it's a very important thing for them to have the live streaming up and running. So one Sunday, live streaming wasn't up and running, and I was getting calls in my office right before I was coming out to preach. And I was getting all these calls in the office, and I'm like, you know, it's the expectation with the new boss was that I was going to leave that office and actually go show up and get that problem fixed. And I was like, I can't do that, right? I can't do that. And, you know, so I had one of my teammates was actually working on the problem for them, and they got it up and running. But when I got back to work the next week, you know, they pulled me into an office and pretty much said that, you know, I wasn't able to be there at a critical moment. And, you know, I pretty much had to tell them, if it's going to be moments on Sundays like that, I won't be able to be here. You know, that's just not going to happen. So, you know, we begin to talk, we begin to discuss some things, and I finally came to a point where, you know, they asked me, can I go higher with them? Can I go further with them? And I said, if you talk about working on Sundays, I can't do it. I just can't do it. And so they said, okay, well, you know, we probably going to have to look at trying to have somebody take over your role, you know, since you won't be able to do it. I said, I have no problem with that. I'll work with you through the whole process, but I won't be able to work on Sundays. See, I can't preach it to y'all and not actually live it myself, right? I can't do that, right? So, you know, I had to tell him, said, no, I'm not going to be able to do it. So, you know, this happened. So that when we talk about this Pharaoh that did not know Joseph, this is my third boss. Same thing that happened on my last job. Here it is happening all over again, right, with a Pharaoh that did not know Joseph. And so the reason that my coworker could say amen, because they knew what I was going through, right? He knew exactly what I was going through. So, you know, I just kind of been holding it in and not really sharing too much with anybody. But we had started these discussions back October, about a year ago. And we finally come to a point that on September 9th, 2016, it'll be my last day on the job. So I'll be leaving. Amen. And they asked me, what am I do? I said, I'm going to be a full-time pastor. so that's what I'm going to do. Amen. That's where my heart is. And I'm saying if the Lord would allow for that to occur, then that's where I want to be. So, you know, the thing about it is that what I want to share with you is some scriptures here tonight that I'm going to need you all to remind me of. You know, because as I've been journeying, amen, there's been different people that God has kind of placed in my life, and they've been just kind of depositing certain scriptures. And I'm going to share even some more of the testimonies. Some of the people that shared testimonies with me, just some of their own testimonies. And I just want to share that with you tonight. Like I said, just be a little personal here. But you know, I wanted the church to know September 9th, 2016, amen, that'll be my last day on my job as it stands right now. But I am under expectation that God's got something else greater. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord going to raise a standard against the enemy. I ain't just saying that just to say that. Amen. That is my testimony. That's what I believe. Right? When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard. I didn't say that. God said that. Amen. I'm just going to receive from it, church. Hallelujah. Not just me, but all of us can receive from this. So, amen. Amen. God is in control. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But, you know, I had a lady, actually, you all probably remember her. She showed up here on New Year's Eve night, and she's from, you know, my job. She came. She's a Jewish lady that showed up here, a Jewish believer. And when she heard what was going on, she actually sent me a scripture. And here it is in 2 Chronicles 15:7. She sent me this to encourage me. Her name is Alice. And I mean, I just thank God for this. And she said, God put it on her heart to give me, be ye strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. I said amen to that. Right? Be ye strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, here in Psalms 46:10, I want you to get that on the screen. This young man has never stepped foot in our church. But he works with me, and we've had we just got some history, you know, with different ones that I work with. But this particular young man, there was something come up, and I had to make a decision as to whether to let him go or to keep him. And, you know, my boss, as well as my boss's boss and the HR director, they left a whole decision in my hand. And, you know, and when I sat down and I just reevaluated the whole situation, they were trying to push me to let him go. But I said, you know, I know I wouldn't want to be out there without a job, having a family to raise and all these things. I wouldn't want to be in that situation. And this, what this man's done has nothing to do with his work performance. This is a personal issue that he has with somebody else. I said, that ain't got nothing to do with his work performance. So for me, I'm going to let him stay. I'm going to give him a chance, and I'm going to let him stay, and I'm just going to talk to him and get him to kind of change his way so that he don't go through and do the things that he did before. And that young man accepted that challenge and became a better employee, you know, behind it. And I thank God for that. So to this day, he respects me and just loves me, his family and everything, and you know, and so he, every day, I just want you to know this, every day he ride by the church. And when he gets down here behind the back of the church, he start praying for me and you. Every day, this young man is passing by this church, and he says a prayer for this church. Every day. See, he never even stepped foot in here. God got people assigned to pray for the church. God got people assigned to pray for us. Church, amen. He prays for your finances. He asked God to bless your finances. Oh, my, my, my. Right? He asked God to, you know, to put me in a place where, you know, I can do full-time ministry. I told him, I gave him a testimony. I said, you know, we were in church, and I said, you know, we had to write down, the minister challenged us to write down on our list what we want from God. I mean, something big, something bold, right? Write some things down that you know only God can do. So one of the things I wrote down on my list, I'm not ashamed to say, I asked God to pay off my house. I say, Lord, I want you to pay off my house so I don't have to work and I can concentrate on ministry. I believe you gave me this house. I know a brother. I was in his house in Zimbabwe. God paid off that man's house. The man took money all the way from Russia all the way back to Zimbabwe with enough money in a candy bag to pay off his house. He bought the house in cash. I say, if God can do that for that brother, God can do the same thing for me. I am not going to limit God. I don't care what the mortgage note is. God is bigger than my mortgage note. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I asked God to do it. So I went to the job and I began to share with them. I said, you know what? You know, we was in church and this happened and the minister asked us to write some things down and say, I remember doing it before and got everything I had on my list, God had answered. Everything. I said, so when the anointing came and said, do it again, I wrote down some big things. I asked God for some big things. So I told him, say, you know what? One of the things I asked God for is to pay off my house. When I told him that, he said, Jack, you need to share that with everybody on the team. I said, okay, well, I'll share with everybody on the team. And I gave him the scripture, and all of them went home and started writing things down and putting it inside their Bible. So he said, when he come by and he prayed, he said, Lord, please pay off his house. So I told him, I said, man, the Bible says if two of us will touch and agree asking anything, we can have it. Thank you for agreeing with me. Hallelujah, church. So this young man, his name is Jason, and he just prays for the entire church. Every day that he walked by here, he's praying for the church. That is, as he's driving by, and he sent me this scripture. There's actually two scriptures that he gave me. One is a confirmation of some, it was spoken by the pastor of Christ Fellowship, and then he picked it up and gave it back to me. You know, but this one is one that the Lord put in his heart while he was praying. And as he was driving by, Psalms 46:10, he says, be still. Y'all read with me. Read with me. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. So he said that to me to encourage me. I received that. I'm going to be still, and I'm going to know that he's God. Hallelujah. Don't get worried. Don't get frustrated. Don't get flustered. Just be still and know that he is God and that he has this whole thing under control. Hallelujah. I want to read from Isaiah 33:6. And before we pull that up, this young lady, her name is Carla, and she sent this to me in WhatsApp. She sent me this scripture, and Carla used to work with me, you know, on the job, and Carla felt a calling, amen, from God to go to Mexico, to leave her job. She was working. She had a job, a good job, but she felt called to go work at an orphanage in Mexico and not get paid at all. And she said, you know, in order for her to do this, she have to leave her mama behind. She have to sell her car, and she have to take the money that she make off the car in order to live for a few months in Mexico in order to be able to work at this orphanage. But she knew God had called her to do it. And that young lady stepped out by faith, left a good-paying job to go do what God called her to do. And when I saw her getting up and walking out them doors, I say, young lady, you are speaking to me. I mean, your faith is it's saying a lot to me right now that you would sell your car. And when she sold a car, about a month or so before it was time to leave. And when that young lady sold the car, the person told her, say, look, I know you're going to still be here for a month. You're going to need to get back and forth to work. So why don't you just keep the car until it's time for you to leave, and then you can give me the car when you leave, but I give you the money now. I say, what? I say, yeah, that's the type of God that I serve. So Carla knew that I was leaving too. And I said, Carla, you just really, you don't spoke to my heart. You don't realize how much it means to see you just walk by faith and not by sight. Carla was just thinking about the situation. She sent me a little message. She said, "Jack, are you still there?" I said, "I was just praying. I was just thinking about you." She's in Mexico, thinking and praying about the situation. I thank God for people like that. And she sent me this scripture, Isaiah 33 and verse 6. It says, "And wisdom," read it with me, "and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation, the fear of the Lord is his treasure." See, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of this time. Wisdom and knowledge. Amen. Knowledge, you know, see, knowledge is one of these virtues here, right? But and here we got to have godly knowledge. Understand that what God promised in his word, that's exactly what he's going to do. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation, the fear of the Lord is his treasure. Praise the Lord. Let me give you another scripture here that came up this week, but it came up early this year. And when it came up, Pastor Todd was speaking on this in one of our staff meetings. And as he was speaking on this, Jason kind of recorded. And during, you know, just throughout the year, Jason would remind me of this scripture. He'd remind me of it. And recently he reminded me of the scripture, and then we went to staff meeting and the pastor spoke on it again. So Jason, like, "Okay, I told you, this is for you. This is for you." I said, "Well, I'm receiving it." This is out of Isaiah 54. I want to start with verse 2, amen, first, and then I'm going to go back to verse 1. So Isaiah 54 and 2. Hallelujah. Read this. "Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes." Right? And see, now what is going on, oftentimes when the denominational churches are reading this, they're actually looking at expanding their ministry. Right? When it says, "Enlarge the place of thy tent, let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations," they're looking at it from a way that God wants them to expand their ministry. Now, you know, here I'm just going to kind of share some things with you because, you know, when Pastor Todd initially spoke this, there was a pastor that was in the audience, and he's married to one of the Winans' daughters, I think, I don't know if it's Debbie Winans. He's married to Debbie Winans. And they happened to be in the meeting that day, and the pastor shared this, and Debbie Winans actually sung at the meeting that day, at staff meeting that day. And when he shared it, her husband jumped up. I forget what his name was, but he jumped up and said, "You know what? That's the exact same scripture that God gave us in order to build our church." Oh, my God. See? Enlarge. See what happens, church, is that we got to start thinking different, right? And when we look at this scripture actually helps us to think different because it says, "Enlarge the place of thy tent." Don't be satisfied where you are. I'm not satisfied just being right here in this building. I want us to have our own building, our own school, our own church, and the Bible says, "Enlarge the place of thy tent," right? Don't even think small. You know, The pastor mentioned something. When he was just sharing this week, he said you got to enlarge your perspective of God, and he was saying you got to expand in your thinking. You got to ask God for things that just seem almost impossible. That's what he began to say, and I said, "Now I already got a list of things that seem impossible, so I know I'm already doing it. I'm enlarging my thinking." Amen. Hallelujah! Listen, you know, he went on to say a few other things. He was saying how, if you all ever been to the church, he said, you know, when they was in the school, so they started out with about 30, 40 people, and then God just added a few here, add a few there. But when they left the school, they had about 70. And they went from that school to a little building. They said, "Man, this is going to be the building that we're going to buy. We're going to start a church." They were just looking at it and say, "This is going to be it." But when they looked at it, you know, they were just so overjoyed that was going to be it, but God did not let the deal go through. Yeah. God actually let the deal fall right out from under him. He said, because the reason that God allowed that to fall from under us is because we was thinking too small. He said, that was maybe 1 acre of land, but God had 4 acres for us. And all we had to do is go next door to a barn, convert it, make it a church, and God gave us them 4 acres. We thought, man, we had it made, but you know them 4 acres got too small. God blessed them with 40 acres across the street. And they say we would never be able to fill up 40 acres. They keep that place full. He says, I think it was just too small. And now God has blessed them with a campus out in Royal Palm. They got 320 acres up in Stewart. They got more land up in Port St. Lucie. They bought a dealer store. He say, I think it should not have been just bought a dealer store. We should have bought the mall. I say, what kind of thinking is that? And he shared something this week. And when it come to pass, y'all remember what this scripture that the man's standing on. Enlarge thy the places thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. He said, you know what? He said, I've been praying for something for 2 years, and I ain't let nobody know about it, but I'm going to let y'all know about it right now. He said, I asked God for the auditorium. He said, there's people in this congregation that's walking around that auditorium praying for it. And we're asking God for that auditorium. We are enlarged. So we need a convention, a place to have conventions, and that would be a perfect place to have it. You say, well, I don't know what the Jehovah Witness is going to have to do, but I'm asking God for that. This man is naming and claiming somebody else's stuff. He's enlarging. Now, when they get it, I'm going to be like, oh, my. Now, I want you to go back to verse 1. I want you to go back to verse 1 in Isaiah 54. Look at what it says. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing. And cry aloud that thou that didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife. Now, what that means is that it's going to be more people going to denominational churches than there are that are going to the true bride church. It's going to be more in the denomination. It's going to be mega churches amongst the denominations, but it's just going to be a few of us. But I want you to look at this, right? Let's read it again. Single barren. Thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud. Thou that didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. But then he goes on to say, enlarge the place of thy tent. He not talking, amen, to the children of the desolate. He's talking to the children of the married wife. The children of the married wife are the ones that's supposed to be enlarging their tents, not the children of the desolate, but they've taken this and actually laid claims on the promise that God gave us. Amen. Church, it's time to change our thinking. Amen. Come on, think big things. Think big things. I mean, you know, if they can ask for the auditorium, I don't know what to even ask for. I don't even know what to ask for, right? But I know God can do more than this. And it come with somebody having a vision. I believe that. You got to have, he made a statement, said, when you're moving into this realm, you got to be courageous. He said, fear comes from your enemy to keep you from your destiny. Fear comes from your enemy to keep you from your destiny. He said, it's only scary to you, but it's sacred to God. So when I'm leaving my job, you know what? It feels a little scary, right? But it's sacred to God. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One weekend they had another pastor from Oklahoma come in, and he made a comment during his sermon. And it said, your setback is a setup for God to get you where he always wanted you. Hear me again. Your setback is a setup for God to get you where he always wanted you. You have to go through so you can get to. See, these are things that I got to remind myself of in this season. When I stand out here and I preach a sermon, it's a new season. I ain't just saying that. It really is. It really is. And I'm going to walk right into my season. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not going to be afraid of it. Now, you know, these when we say the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises a standard. What he does is quicken his word, and he raises that standard, you know, just by quickening the word. I took all these scriptures down, and I put them in a little place, and I'm going to hold on to them. I'm constantly going back to them. And I just want to just, you know, especially that enlarge the place of thy tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. That's something we're going to be dwelling on. And I want y'all to highlight that one because that belongs to us. That does not belong to the megachurch. That belongs to this little group right here. We got to start thinking bigger. Oh, God. Oh, my. I believe that. I got another scripture that I'm standing on in this season. And this is one that I want you all to stand in agreement with me. And when you're praying and you're praying over this situation, I want you to pray the scripture. Pray the scripture, right? As you're praying the scripture, maybe God will anoint you, you know, and through the prayer, you never know what might come out. You might begin to prophesy right through the prayer. You don't know what God will do. We come here every Sunday morning. We're here at 7 a.m. from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. in a prayer meeting. Church, and as we come bringing these things before the Lord, let's take these scriptures and just keep them before the Lord. It's what he spoke to us. I believe that. Here's another one that I want to read out of 1 Corinthians 9. And this is what Jason prays over you all every day when he comes and passes by this building. One day y'all going to meet Jason. Y'all going to meet him. Some of you already met him, but one day you'll meet him. But I'll identify, this is the young man that was praying for us every day as he passed by this church. I pray that God will bless him for his faithfulness. I pray God will bless him. Here, 1 Corinthians 9, this is something that God gave me. Verse 13, he says, do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? And this is verse 14. This is the one that I keep quoting. Even so hath the Lord ordained. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. And if God has ordained for it to be that way, then the tender hand of Jehovah has allowed this again to happen in my life in order to get me into a place where I can fulfill his word. But those are some heavy words. But I believe God. I believe God. If he said it, and I shared that with Jason, I said, you know, God said in his word, you know, because they asked me, say, now, because, you know, as they start talking, you ready for this? You ready for this move? I said, you know, look, if God allowed it to happen, God must be ready for it. Right? I've asked God for some big things, and I'd love to see all them things done before I left work. Everybody just like to leave on a, you know, on a good note. Everybody want to do that. But then that really wouldn't be faith. The Bible says we have to walk by faith and not by sight. Brother Jack, with small congregation, how this going to happen, I don't know. I can tell you this much, that God knows everything. God has already started working. I'm just getting very personal with you all. Very personal. But I received a telephone call. Because, you know, here the scripture says, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Now, that means, you know, certainly in the church, the way that the, you know, just through the tithing, you know, that's how the pastor is supposed to live. And that, you know, and I thank God that we have a church that's faithful in that area, you know, but God knows all things. And one of the things that, as a pastor, I would not ever want to put pressure on God's people. I would never do that. And I say, everybody just do what God has called you to do and just let God take care of the rest. But I would not put pressure on God's people. We need this. We need that. No. God know the need. God know the need, right? And God will take care of it. But, you know, there was a pastor that called me up, and he said, you know, I know that you are getting ready to kind of make this transition. I know that, you know, things are going to be changing for you and all that. He said, you know, I was going to save this, and I wasn't going to tell you. you know, till later. But I just felt led to let you know right now that, you know, God has placed it in my heart that I'm going to pay my tithes to you. Yeah. So God encouraged me to let me know that, you know, it's when he said that he will, those that preach, he's ordained for those that preach the gospel, live of the gospel, there's more ways than one that God can get money to you. All he wants you to do is be faithful and just step out. And I told him, I say, if I was only a full-time pastor for 1 month, I'm going to be a full-time pastor for 1 month. My plan is to go full-time in ministry and just let God be God. That's what my plan is. Church, I want y'all to pray with me. I want y'all to pray for me, pray for my family, and we're going to see what God going to do. But when the enemy comes in like a flood, we're going to watch God lift up the standard against the enemy. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, Lord, just being a little personal here tonight with these things and not able to share it with the entire church, but God just felt led tonight to share this. God, you have given us a promise in your word that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise that standard against the enemy. And God, I realize that everybody here has something that they're going through. Everybody's got some trial or some tribulation or some distress that they're facing. But God, I pray that you just continue to quicken your word to us as we read the Bible. May scripture be quickened as we listen to the tapes. May the quotes be quickened. And Father, Lord, may we always be reminded of these things. Lord, and there might be other scriptures that will come along. But Father, help us to hold to that word, knowing that that's the standard that is raised against the enemy. Nothing happens by chance. Nothing happens by accident. But the Bible declares that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. So, Lord, I pray that we just want to, as the scripture told us, Lord, and here in Isaiah, told us to enlarge our tent. And God, Lord, we just look at that. It first starts with our thinking. That's what needs to be enlarged. We need to know, God, that you are much, much bigger, amen, than any situation that we're facing. You told us enlarge the place of thy tent. Say, let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. You said, spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. God, that's exactly what we want to do. And as we read that scripture, it wasn't even written for the desolate, God, but it was written for the married wife, the bride of Jesus Christ. So help us, Lord, to think, change our thinking, to get to think bigger, think, to ask for big things, and to know that the God that we serve is able to give us those big things. God, don't let this just pass, go in one ear and out the other. But Lord, let it become a life verse for us, that we would live it, that we would express it, that we would enjoy it, that we would walk in it, God, and something that we'd be able to share with so many others. We've been hearing testimonies, God. Sister Tina even shared the testimony of the church, Lord, that got a building, got 10 acres of property right here in the heart of the city, for under $100,000. God, if you're doing that for small churches, we know that you can do great things for us. We just heard Brother Freeman talk about how somebody walked into the church and gave $950,000 to buy this land down the street. God, don't let us doubt these things, but let us enlarge the place of our tent, Father. Oh, God, let us our conversation be around that. Let our prayer time be around that. And may we unite as a body of believers, standing shoulder to shoulder together, Lord, to watch you do great things in our midst. Help me, Lord, show me how, God, to lead the church, Lord, during this season and during this time. give me wisdom, God. And I realize that, Lord, I can't do this on my own, but I know that you can. God, you want all of us to experience the exceeding, the abundant, above all we can ask or think. And I believe that for every family, God. But help us, Lord, to be faithful with what we have right now. Help us to be faithful that we'll all reap the benefits, oh God. Because the Bible says that we'll sow in tears, but we'll also reap in joy. God, that's our prayer. That's our desire. That's our hope, and our hope is in you. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name, God. We praise you. We bless you. We worship you, God, in this place tonight. You're worthy to be praised. You're worthy of honor. You're worthy of glory. You're worthy, God. You're worthy, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your holy name, God. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, God. We make a way when there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. And he will be my guide. Draw me closely to his side. Oh, love and strength for each new day. He will make a way. He will make a way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's sing it again. Oh, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways he cannot see. Oh, he will make a way for me. And he will be my guide. Oh, draw me closely to his side. Oh, with love and strength for each new day. See, he will make a way. Yes, he will. He will make a way. God will. God will, God will, God will, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Yes, he works in ways we cannot see, and he will make a way for me, and he will be my guide, draw me closely to his side. Oh, with love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. Yes, he will. He will make a way. We believe it, Lord. We believe you, Jesus. We believe your word, oh God. Yes, we do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Blessed be your holy name, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He'll make a way, church. He will make a way. He's already made the way. Already made it. Blessed be his holy name. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. God, we are appreciative. Lord, of your word, your spirit. God, everything that you're doing, we're grateful for. And God, we just ask that you would help us, Lord, to Lord, just to continue, Lord, to confess and speak the word over every circumstance and situation. It's the word that changes it. It's the word that gives us overcoming power. It's the word that does it. And as a body of believers, Lord, may we be so united and under, Lord, expectation for you to fulfill your portion of the word. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, you'll raise a standard. And God, certainly, Lord, there are times where our faith is put to the test, and Lord, even having to make the choice that I'll serve you, God, over trying to do my profession. You'll always be first. You'll always be first, God. And if I'm going to preach it to the church, then I got to live it before the church as well. I pray, Lord, that as others would see the stand that's being taken, Lord, that they would also not compromise with the enemy. But Father, that they would stand and believe you, God, for the impossible, that they would enlarge the place of their tents, that they would enlarge that. Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord, each and every one. And God, those saints that were not here tonight, maybe they'll hear the tape, and God, I just pray that you would help them to feel the same anointing that we feel here tonight, and we know that you're in control. Even when I think back on the tape that we listened to on last week and how the prophet said that you did something for him. You gave him the caribou and you gave him the bear, knowing that the trial was coming his way, but you did that because you wanted to encourage him. And God, I can think back in my own life and see things that you've done, Lord, just to try to encourage me before the trial actually came. But Lord, it's through this trial, that your word will be fulfilled. I believe it, and I receive it, God, with thanksgiving. We give you the praise, we give you the honor, we give you the glory. As we, Lord, prepare to leave this place tonight, going our respective ways, pray that you bring us back at the appointed time on Sunday morning, 7 a.m. for our time of prayer, 9:30 a.m. we'll be in Sunday school, and 10:30, Lord, our service. We just pray that you would just move by your spirit, God, in our midst. May your spirit meet us here, God, in a very special way. It's in Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. I wonder if I can just get you to just tell somebody, find somebody, just say, God gonna make a way. God will make a way. God will make a way. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I also want to share a testimony. We'll prepare to dismiss. There was a few years ago, probably about 10 years ago. You can be seated. When about 10 years ago, there was a young man that worked on the job with me, and I was his manager. But he ended up getting into a situation where his mother had passed away, and his father had already passed years before. He grew up as the only child, and he was just kind of there, and had his wife and maybe some dogs. But he got into a situation, got depressed, and got addicted to alcohol, and it got so bad that he was drinking on the job. And, you know, somebody brought it to my attention, said, well, I've never seen him, you know, drunk or anything like that, so I can't do anything about it. Well, one day he left work early, went home, and I guess he was drinking at lunch, so he went on home, and on his way home, he got into an accident, and he hit somebody, and he went on home and, you know, just kind of settled it. But he some kind of way told somebody, and they told me what happened, and they went and got the police report and brought it to me, and I said, well, you know, with that, I got to do what I got to do as a manager. And I went through HR and just went through the process, and we had to release him, you know, and let him go. And I remember walking him out to his car and getting his keys from big guy, you know, but getting his keys from him and just watching him walk away and just really couldn't do much for him. And we stayed in touch here and there, you know, periodically. And I remember going out to dinner with him, me and my wife and his wife. He and his wife, we all went out to dinner, and just, you know, just over the years we've been in touch. Well, today he sent me an email, and he told me about the job that he has, and on the job, they had enough confidence in him that he's, you know, been promoted to supervisor. He, you know, committed himself to Alcoholics Anonymous and all of that, and went through the program, and he said, Jack, I've been promoted to supervisor. I just want to let you know that I made it back. I made it back. You know, and praise the Lord. And you know, when he sent that over to me, I said, you know, he didn't have to do that. Here I was, the guy that let him go, right? But he knew that my heart was for him, and that even though I had to do what a manager has to do, that, you know, I still loved him, you know, in the midst of it. And I said, you know, for him to just kind of send me something like that to let me know that, you know, that that, you know, God just knows how to encourage you. You know, God knows. Sometimes people tell you that you're not, you know, you're not that great of a manager. You're not this, but God know how to tell you, yes, you are. People remember you from 10 years ago, right? And how you treated them, and it just things like that. And I said, man, I just told him how proud I was of him, and how happy I was for him, and congratulating him. But it just blessed my heart, you know, to see that. So. You all just remember my friend in prayer when you're thinking about your prayers. Just remember him, and that God will just continue to keep him, amen, on the straight and narrow path. Amen. God bless you. We'll be back on Sunday morning, 7 a.m. for prayer, 9:30 for our Sunday school class, and then 10:30 for service. Amen. God richly bless you. Don't forget, on Sunday we will be praying for all of those that will be going back to school. We'll have a prayer line for them to pray for them before they go back into school. God bless you.